Man, this was an 11th hour sermon, I tell you. Last night this was written, so forgive me. But here we go, because the Holy Spirit's going to speak today, not me. Yeah. Let's pray. Yeah, Holy Spirit, Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, I just thank you for this morning. I thank you for the worship time we've had with you this morning. I thank you that you've been in our presence this morning. Lord, and I just get excited when we really go for it, because that's what you want for us. You want us to be wholeheartedly going for it in your name, not ours, Lord. And I thank you that you just get excited when we do it, because your heart is there ready for us to take it, these things on. Lord, and I thank you. I just want your word this morning to just ingrain in our hearts and ingrain in our minds, Lord. And it makes a complete difference that we are completely different people from when we came in to when we leave this morning. Lord, and I just that journey that we take with you, Lord, just enable us to do it with you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You know, as Dave says, we've had this series on identity. And I found it very powerful, talking about who we are in Christ and what we look like. And just as important, who we're not, as the world sees us. You know, this kingdom perspective of how God actually sees us. You know, it does my heart so good when I am a child of God.
Praise God, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Thank
you, Lord.
You are children of God. You look like Jesus. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you do. You look like Jesus. But, you know, there's something else that we've got to get hold of here, because this is just a basic form where we stand, what our identity is. Because when you think about it, we don't deserve anything, do we?
No.
We're only standing here, we're only breathing, we're only worshipping because God allows it.
Amen.
You know, for all our sins and all our wrongdoings, if we did it in a worldly way and a worldly judgment on us, we'd be locked up, we'd be gone, we'd be destroyed, we'd be no more. But thankfully, by grace and unfailing love, which we've sang about this morning, we're here this morning. And it's through His grace and His full, devoted commitment to us that we are here this morning. And there's one thing that He asks us to do. Sarah, if you don't mind. Is this. To become fully devoted followers of Jesus Christ. Fully devoted. Not that way, not this way, not how we see it, not how we want to do it. But fully devoted, wholeheartedly followers of Jesus Christ. But I don't know about you, but I find it tough going sometimes as a Christian. I live in a world which is quick to scorn, quick to ridicule, quick to mock, quick to point the finger at. We have an enemy that says to us, "Did God really say that?" Brings the doubts, brings the fears, and it's all too easy to hear it. And sometimes it's all too easy to even believe it. Because we're in constant battle all the time. Whatever we do, wherever we go, whether we're at work, even in church, with our friends, there's somebody called Satan who is constantly having a dig. We are constantly in a battle, whether we like it or not, with the powers and the forces of powers of darkness. And it makes it tough going. But I don't know about you, but my goal is to search for an inner peace.
Yeah.
An inner peace that brings me contentment in my life. So no matter what I face, no matter what the world throws at me, no matter what people say about me, I am content in what I know. And I only become content in what I know when I become fully devoted follower of Jesus Christ. You see, our human instinct, we are conditioned somehow to always take the easy path, aren't we? We're always conditioned to take the easy way out sometimes, rather than the right path. We are inherently lazy. Turn to the person next to you and say, you are, maybe not. Maybe not. You see, we would like to take shortcuts. I don't know about you, but how many times have you walked through a park and you've hit this big square piece of greenery, and rather than take the path all the way around it to get to the other side, diagonally straight across it. Yeah. Even though it says keep off the grass, yeah. We diagonally go straight for the easy way through it. And we have a colliery adjacent to our farm. It's an old, it goes back to the 1800s, and those who live in Bickerstaff will know where I mean. And some bright spark in the parish decided to make this into a cycle route thing, mountain bike, all sorts of things, thinking it would bring all sorts of cyclists to Bickerstaff. What it's done is brought every yob within a 30-mile radius on our farm. Now, to access said colliery, there are two ways. You can either come through the Rainford bypass on the dual carriageway by the petrol station down that end, or you can come right through the middle of our farm. Now, those people from Kirby can't be bothered to go all the way round Bickerstaff to come round the other end to Rainford. They decide we'll cycle right through the middle of my farm. Not only that, they decide not to go down the farm track and up the edge of the field. They decide to cycle right through the middle of my crop. Oh, you think of right through the middle of the crop, diagonally to it. Not only bicycles, we've actually witnessed a Hackney cab do this. Dropping two kids off with bikes to get to it. That's how lazy human beings are. Now, being a Christian, I pray for them. I pray they get stuck. So they might think again about doing it next time, or have to pay me £100 to come with my tractor and tow them out. But I'm not mercenary. If you want to turn to me with me, and I'm not going to apologise, it's Chronicles, 2 Chronicles, starting at chapter 15. It's quite a long passage. But I make no apologies for actually reading God's word out. It says this: the Spirit of God came upon Azariah, the son of Oded, and he went out to meet Asa. And they said to him, "Hear me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin. The Lord is with you while you are with him. If you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you. For a long time, Israel was without a true God, and without a teaching priest, and without law. But when in their distress they turned to the Lord, the God of Israel, and sought him, he was found by them. In those times there were no peace to him who went out or to him who came in. For great disturbances afflicted all the inhabitants of the lands. They were broken in pieces, nation crushed by nation, and city by city. For God troubled them with every sort of distress. But you take courage. Do not let your hands be weak, for your work shall be rewarded." As soon as Asa heard these words, the prophecy of Azariah, the son of Oded, he took courage and put away the detestable idols from all the land of Judah and Benjamin, and from the cities that he'd taken, and all the hill country of Ephraim. And he repaired the altar of the Lord. This was in front of the vestibule in the house of the Lord. And he gathered all Judah and Benjamin, and all those from Ephraim, Messaniah, and Simeon, who were residing for them. For great numbers had deserted him to Israel, when they saw that the Lord his God was with him. They gathered at Jerusalem in the third month of the 15th year in the reign of Asa. They sacrificed unto the Lord the spoil they had. They brought 700 oxen and 7,000 sheep. And they entered into a covenant to seek the Lord, the God of their fathers, with all their heart and all their souls. But whoever would not seek the Lord, the God of Israel, should be put to death, whether young or old, man or woman. They swore an oath to the Lord with a loud voice and with shouting and with trumpets and with horns. And all Judah rejoiced over the oath, for they had sworn with all their heart and sought him with the whole desire when he found by them, and the God that gave them peace all around. Tough going being a Christian. And it takes courage sometimes to stand up for what you believe in. You know, I'm blessed with Nigel and Beth this morning, the courage that took them out there in the first place. You know, when they said, you know what, God's calling us out to this place and we need to go. Doesn't matter whether we feel comfortable about it or not, we're just going to go. That takes courage to do such a thing. And when you look at the life of Asa here, it took courage to get rid of those idols that they were worshipping at that point. Because to them, the people, that's what their life was. This is what they worshipped. This is what they came to. Suddenly, this bloke says, this lot's going in the bin, folks. Can you imagine the rebellion that guy was going to face? When his people saying, hold on a minute, you can't do that. You can't get rid of these things. You see, Asa took the right path, not the easy path. In this worn, torn chaos we find in the Old Testament, God brought a peace to those people that devoted themselves to him. Now, I'm not talking about peace when there's no war at all here. See, I believe God is talking about a peace, an inner peace, a contentment to these people who devoted themselves to him. So no matter how many battles or wars they faced, they had an inner peace. Yeah. They had contentment, knowing there was a greater power than them on their side.
Yeah.
They, Asa, when he was devoted himself to God, defeated massive enemies on earth. They would have trampled all over Asa and his people. Yet God was with him when he devoted himself to God. And these enemies were completely crushed. But, like we like in life cycle, these don't last, do they? Soon the covenant is broken. Soon even Asa turns his back on God. Because by chapter 16 of 2 Chronicles 7, we actually see Asa now relying on earthly influences once more. This time, Asa took the easy path rather than the right path. I'm not sure why I'm doing that right and that the easy. See, God's peace then was soon replaced by battles Asa couldn't handle once more. See, I don't know about you, but when you come fully devoted, it means giving up stuff. It means getting rid of those idols, those earthly things we hold so precious to us. And it's difficult to do so because we have these worldly things we love to have. When we wholeheartedly go after Christ, we have to leave things behind. We have to leave those comfort zones sometimes behind and step out in faith. We have to take that courage step and leave what we know. It sometimes does mean us taking the right path rather than the easy path. You see, in Matthew 6:24, it says, we cannot serve two masters. Because the problem is, when we serve two masters, one distracts from the other. It's what I call hokey-cokey Christians. You've heard this saying before, where we're one foot in and one foot out, one foot in, one foot out, and then we shake it all about. Because that's what we're doing. Sometimes we're with God, sometimes we're with the world. Sometimes we're with God, sometimes we're with the world. Sometimes we're just shaking it all about, and we can't decide what on earth we're doing. Because why? We're not fully devoted to one thing. We're not stepping out in that trust and that faith to say, this is where I stand. This is what I'm devoted to. My Lord, you can forget what the world wants to do and what to say and what to ridicule me about and the mocking and the rubbish that they want to bring my way. I am not going to shift from this point. Are we doing the same? I'm speaking to me here, folks, because I don't do it all the time. I'm back here sometimes, and sometimes I'm over here, and, you know, dancing around and prancing around, and God's saying, you want to be stood there, mate. Because when you are stood there, you will know my peace. Yeah. When you're stood there, you will know my contentment in life. You will be content. And that's what I yearn for. You see, when we have two masters, you can turn this off now, sir, if you want, because it's going to blind me. We carry around one of these when we have two masters. We've all got one. Some are bigger than others. Some are fuller than others. Some are emptier than others. This is what I call my just in case. This is what I call my just in. And this is the thing, this is the baggage we carry around with us all day long. These are the comfort things we try and keep hold of when we're trying to serve two masters. My job. Maybe it's hurts and pains, like Adie was talking about this morning. You know, sometimes we like to hold on to them because they're part of us, and we forget to let them go just in case we need them. Sometimes it's forgiveness. Sometimes we forget to forgive people, and we like to hold on to it. Sad as it is, we do. Sometimes it's a comfort blanket, pink. Not as nice as Jim's a fortnight ago, I admit, but this is mine. Really? What else have we got? Oh, yeah. What about technology? How many of us sort of hold on to this stuff day in, day out? Serving this master rather than the other. Freeview box. What about the telly? Yeah. How many of us sit in front of the telly day in, day out instead of reading the word? Instead of praying? Instead of watching maybe something on the internet that's actually Christian? Don't know why that got in there, but that wasn't supposed to be seen. Always got my teddy. You see, these are the things I might, hold on, these are just examples. They're not all mine. But these are the things, if we're not careful, we serve. And God's saying, there's nothing wrong with these things. There's nothing wrong with these things, but if these things are more important than God, then, folks, we've got it the wrong way around. Because if we've got these things in our life and these are the things that are important to us, we are not fully devoted followers of Jesus Christ, which is what we're being called to do. You see, God brought, and he only, when I was writing this last night, he only brought this to me last night. And it's when Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane. And we find Jesus on his knees. Some of the gospel readings say he's on his face. He's splayed out. And he's saying, Father, is there any other way than this? Is there any other way than this? At that split moment, there's the easy path and the right path. And Jesus got up and made the right path. He made the right path. And I believe the reason why he was able to do it was he got an inner peace from the Father to say, it's okay, I'm with you. I'm with you through the battles, because Jesus is about to face the most horrific thing. The ridicule, the mocking, the scorn, the finger pointing, the judgment, to even death on a horrific cross. Yet he was able to get up onto his feet and say, your will be done. Your will be done. Amen. Why? Because he was fully devoted to the Father. 100% without any question. And whatever the world or the earth thought of him, he stood here. Not there, not there, devoted here. That's what gave him the power to face what he was going to go through, because he was fully devoted. And I'm not saying that our battles and our wars are going to finish, because they are daily and they can be big, they can be small. They can be silly little things, but they niggle at us. But unless we're fully devoted to Jesus Christ, we will be serving two masters. We'll be listening to the wrong voice. We'll be struggling to say, this is where I stand, folks. Chronicles 2:16-9. It's just a passage. It just says, and I love this. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to give strong support to those whose heart is blameless towards him. God is looking for people he wants to strengthen.
Thank you, Lord.
If they are fully devoted to him. He wants to strengthen you and me when we hear him and say, yes, this is where I want to be. For that's where our strength comes from.
Yeah.
Nothing else. Doing it in our own way and our own things, we just make a complete mess of it. The earth is only in a mess because mankind's done it. When you want to draw strength, when you want to get real, when you want to be out there witnessing to your friends, your mates, and bringing them to Jesus, where are you standing? You half in this and half in that? Or are you wholeheartedly devoting yourself to Jesus? See, Jesus got up off his knees, stood up for two reasons. He knew his identity, and he had a kingdom perspective of what he was about to face. So that gave him a wholehearted attitude to go forward into what he had to do. Do you know your true identity this morning? After all that we've heard? Or is it just 10 sermons that you've just listened to and gone home and said, right, we'll carry on with the rest of the week? Because these are fundamental. Because we need a kingdom perspective of how God sees us. Because when we hold those truths, we can wholeheartedly come fully devoted followers of Jesus Christ. This isn't just some loose thing that we've thought of in the teaching team. This is a follow-on. This is an add-on. This is something else to add on to our identity and a kingdom perspective of where we're going as a church and as individuals. And we need to take hold of those truths and be encouraged by them, be built up by it. And let's build each other up in it. Amen. You know, this isn't just an individual journey that we're all on individual journeys, but corporately we need to be beside each other, Amen. Building each other up, encouraging each other up, yeah. showing people their identity in Christ if they don't know it properly. And just letting them know that God loves them. Amen. And that kingdom perspective of living our lives, of where we're actually going. You know, we've been looking at the journey of a pilgrim in our Lent group that we're doing at Bickerstaff. And it's all about the journey. It's all about the next stage, where we're going. And I always remember Dave Smith saying to me years ago, and I said, how do you know you're growing as a Christian? And he said to me, if you look back 12 months ago to what you were, if you haven't progressed to something different, something new, something more like Jesus in the next 12 months, then you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing. And that stayed with me for years. That if I look back on my life, am I the same person, the same Christian as I was 12 months ago as what I am now? I like to think I am. I don't know what the next 12 months are going to be like, that journey that we're taking on. And yours is completely different than mine. But you need that wholehearted attitude. And that's what makes you progress on that journey. To completely throw yourself at Jesus, totally committed, totally devoted, totally 100% to him. And you will make that journey so much easier. Why? Because he's walking right beside you with it. He'll not forsake you. He'll not leave you. He will hold your hand through that journey. I don't know why I'm saying this, because I haven't written any of this down. Like Asa, when he was fully devoted himself to God and got rid of all the earthly idols and all the masters that he had, that just-in-case stuff we carry around with us. When that was gone, he could face any battle at any moment, at any time. See, God wants to bring each and every one of us an inner peace, that content feeling to all his people. But it'll be those who wholeheartedly devote themselves fully to him that will truly feel it. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, yeah. Yeah, Lord, I thank you for your word this morning. I thank you for the power it carries. Lord, I'm just a vessel. Lord, and I realize that, you know, sometimes it's mumbling and sometimes it's junk, but Lord, I just pray that some word somewhere in all of that has penetrated your people this morning. That they've taken home this morning some truth of you that they can take hold of. Lord, and I just thank you that you just want to give us that peace. That doesn't mean we're going out there without any battles or wars, Lord, but we have that content feeling knowing that something greater, more powerful than us has already defeated it. And I thank you for that. I thank you for the cross. I thank you that you willingly went there. Despite that moment of wanting to question the easy or the right path, Lord. But it was because you were fully devoted to your Father that made you go that extra mile. Go that journey to the cross. So we could live. So we could live. Lord, words sometimes just can't express it anymore. But Lord, thank you just doesn't seem enough. Lord, I pray over each and every person here this morning that we fully devote ourselves to Jesus Christ. And we forget what the world thinks. We forget what the world wants us to say and do. But we stand in the truth of you, Jesus. Amen. Just help us go out this morning fully devoted to you. And not just today, but Monday morning, Tuesday morning, April, May, June, July, the rest of our lives, till we too meet you once again. Lord, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.